Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today we're going to continue talking about The Great Gatsby. Remember last time we talked about this great American novel. We talked about the plot of that novel. But today we're going to talk about the actual author of the novel, F. Scott Fitzgerald.
That's right. You know, he had quite a short career because he died rather young. But he left behind a pretty large mark, you could say, on a literature of the world. So even though we didn't have him around very long, he actually produced quite a classic in The Great Gatsby. He also was kind of a small-town boy. Remember, Nick Carraway was from the Midwest. Well, F. Scott Fitzgerald was born in Minnesota, which is a state that's quite cold. It's up north, and I don't know a lot of people from Minnesota.
Well, I'm actually from someplace very close to there.
Yeah?
My brother lives in the Twin Cities right now.
Oh, really?
Minneapolis and Minnesota is kind of like a cultural center there in the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
At least
they think so, for
sure. But a lot of people do end up moving there. But I don't know if F. Scott Fitzgerald was actually from the Twin Cities or some other place in Minnesota. I would have to look that up.
Hey, isn't Minnesota the state that has the big mall?
Yeah, the Mall of America is there.
Yeah, it's really big.
Is that still the world's largest mall?
I think so.
I think they're going to build a larger one someplace else, like
maybe
Singapore.
Or Dubai.
Dubai, yeah, that would figure that they would build it, or maybe over in China there. But in any case here, F. Scott Fitzgerald is kind of like the narrator in The Great Gatsby, Nick Carraway. He's from the Midwest, so he's probably kind of innocent and is probably fairly cynical about big city people and their love of money and stuff like that. So we'll talk about him in today's program and his life and times and how he came to write this great American novel. Let's read our article right now. F. Scott Fitzgerald, the author of The Great Gatsby, was born in Minnesota, USA in 1896. As a boy, Fitzgerald took an interest in literature. He attended Princeton University, where he decided to become a writer. Fitzgerald was so engrossed in his writing that his grades suffered. After being placed on academic probation, he decided to drop out of school and join the U.S. Army. Before reporting for duty, he submitted his book, The Romantic Egotist, to a publisher. Although the publisher rejected the book, the company encouraged him to stick with writing. After World War I, Fitzgerald moved to New York to pursue a career in advertising. For many years, he barely made ends meet. Then he had his first success with This Side of Paradise, a novel about the post-World War I generation. His masterpiece, The Great Gatsby, was published in 1925. It was an immediate hit, and he shot to fame. Fitzgerald was considered part of the Lost Generation, a group of gifted American artists living as expatriates in Europe. Despite his success, Fitzgerald was unable to achieve financial stability. He and his wife lived lavishly, so they were always in the red. This forced him to accept commercial assignments, writing Hollywood scripts and short stories for newspapers, which he loathed. Fitzgerald was an alcoholic, which led to his early demise when he was just 44. Although the prime of his career was somewhat brief, he is recognized as one of the most talented American writers of the 20th century.
Okay, let's talk about the author, F. Scott Fitzgerald. I don't know what the F stands for.
Well, it's Francis, I believe.
Oh, interesting. Well, I would just use the initial, too, because a lot of times Francis is a girl's name. It can be a guy's name, though, as well.
Hmm.
So we know from the way he writes his name, F. Scott Fitzgerald, that he went by Scott. He didn't use his first name. A lot of people will do that. Some people have a couple of different names, and they'll decide to use the second one instead of their first name.
Hmm.
Well, he was the author, as you know, of The Great Gatsby, and he was born in Minnesota, which is a northern state in the United States, way back in 1896. So it was quite a while ago. When he was young, he took an interest in literature. It's something that he enjoyed. He liked to read, and he liked good books. Not just comic books, guys. Literature.
Right, books, novels, stuff like that, classic novels and things like that. Literature. And he attended Princeton University, which is an Ivy League school. I believe it's in Trenton, New Jersey, or near Trenton, New Jersey. Actually, it's in Princeton, right?
It's in Princeton.
It's in Princeton, mm-hmm. Which is itself is near Trenton, New Jersey.
Kind of in the middle part of the state of New Jersey.
Exactly. Trenton actually is the capital of New Jersey. But in any case, he went to Princeton, and when he was there, he decided to become a writer. So he was so engrossed in his writing that his grades suffer. If you're engrossed in something, that means you are really involved with that thing. You're doing it all the time, and you think about few other things. You are kind of obsessed with this sort of thing. So he worked so much on his writing that he kind of neglected his other classes and his grades suffered. In other words, his grades started going down.
We often will use the verb be or get when we talk about engrossed. Oh, she really got engrossed in her work, or she is completely engrossed in her work. So we'll often use either of those verbs when we're using that word engrossed. So he really loved his writing, but as a result, his grades suffered. You can suffer if you feel pain, but here we're using suffer to say something becomes worse, badly affected by something. Well, if he's spending all of his time writing and he's not studying, he's not going to do well on his tests or on his papers that he has to write for class. So what happens is his grades suffer. So he had poor grades.
And so what happened as a result of that, he was placed on academic probation. Probation is when you have committed some kind of crime or done something bad, and you're kind of being monitored. They aren't going to put you in jail, or they're not going to kick you out of school totally, but they're going to keep an eye on you. They're going to say, you're being given a warning now. Unless you improve your grades, you are going to be kicked out. We won't kick you out just yet, but you better improve, or you will be kicked out. And academic here just refers to your studies, having to do with your studies in a university. So, yes, academic probation. He was in hot water, you could say.
So maybe he was on probation for a semester, and they said, if you don't get your grades up in the next semester, we're going to kick you out. Well, instead of letting the school make that decision, he decided, forget it. I'm not going to work harder. I'm just going to drop out. If you drop out of school, it means you stop attending before you've graduated. So he decided he was going to drop out of high school, and he joined the U.S. Army instead.
Which may or may not have been a good decision, but that's what he did. He quit Princeton and joined the Army. He submitted his book, The Romantic Egotist, to a publisher. If you submit something to someone, you give that thing to somebody, or you do what you're supposed to do. So he gave this book to a publisher and said, well, before I join the Army, do you think you might publish this book so I don't really have to go in the Army and I can become a rich writer instead?
A lot of times we submit things to people so that they can approve it or they can look at it and consider what we've done. If you're looking for a new job, you can submit your resume to that particular company so they can review it and maybe give you an interview. Or here, he's just submitting his book or his manuscript, the part that he had written, to a publishing company. Unfortunately, they rejected the book. They said, oh, it's pretty good, but it's not quite good enough. So they encouraged him to stick with writing. If you stick with something, you continue doing it, you don't give up. Sometimes you just have to stick with your job, even though you're not quite happy doing it because there's nothing else or maybe you need the income. Sometimes we don't have the luxury of giving up or quitting right away if we're unhappy. So they told him, hey, don't give up. We think you have some talent, but it's not quite good enough to be published. So continue writing and in the future, resubmit something to us is probably what they said.
Yeah, they probably thought that he needed a little bit more experience with his writing to publish something a little bit more mature. So they say, well, it's good, it's good, you know, but still it's kind of Very basic, and it's got some problems. So if you write something else in the future, you might improve, and hey, we might publish your work in the future. Now, after World War One finished, Fitzgerald moved to New York to pursue a career in advertising. Not in writing, but in advertising. Advertising, of course, is trying to sell products through the media, basically. And, well, you know, sometimes people want to be writers of novels and stuff like that, but if they can't succeed at that, they might try their hand at advertising. They might think that's kind of a low thing to do, oh, write, you know, words to try to sell, you know, a can of soup or something like that. I don't think a lot of writers would really strive to want to do that, but I guess this is a way that he could actually earn a living while he was doing writing on the side.
You know, I think the talent for advertising is so different than writing novels. If you work in advertising, you have to be quite creative and clever, come up with really great slogans, which stick in people's minds. So I think it's a different talent entirely, but a lot of failed writers, writers who don't succeed in writing novels and getting themselves published, will turn to different careers where they can use writing at least, and advertising is one of them. New York is a huge market for advertising companies.
Madison Avenue.
Yeah, that's where you go if you really want to work in advertising. For many years, he barely made ends meet. To make ends meet is a phrase we use to say you have just enough money to pay for the things that you need to live on. You don't have a lot of extra money. That's what that means, to barely or almost make ends meet. Just means, oh, I can pay for my apartment, my rent, maybe the utilities, and food, and that's about all.
Okay, so he barely made ends meet, and then he had his first success with This Side of Paradise, which was a novel about the post-World War One generation. Okay, we'll continue talking about his masterpiece in just a couple of seconds, but right now here is our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 昨天我们介绍完这个大亨小传的故事情节之后，今天要来看一下作者他的生平。作者的名字是 F. Scott Fitzgerald。他呢，其实是出生在1896年的美国。我们来看一下第一段中间讲到 Fitzgerald was so engrossed in his writing that his grades suffered. 他其实呢从很早的时候就非常喜爱写作，他是如此专注于自己的写作当中，以至于他的成绩啊其实还蛮糟的。在这里我们来看一下 engrossed 这个字，它呢本来当作动词，engross 代表着是使某人全神贯注的意思，所以用人当主词的时候，我们就要说 be engrossed in something. She was engrossed in her book, 代表着就是她专心一致地在看书。而呢，成绩不好怎么办呢？ After being placed on academic probation,He decided to drop out of school and join the U.S. Army. 由于呢，他被留校查看，在这里我们说 on academic probation. Probation 这个字呢，其实就是有检验、鉴定的意思。他要被留在学校来看看他的成绩是不是恰当，所以他就决定要 drop out of school， 决定要辍学，然后参加了美国的陆军。我们常看到片语 drop out， 其实就是有退出的意思。She dropped out school to become an actress. 她呢辍学去当女演员。Since his defeat, he dropped out of politics. 自从他失败之后，就再也不从事政治活动了。接着我们来看第二段。Before reporting for duty, he submitted his book, The Romantic Egotist, to a publisher. 其实呢，在之前要去军队报道的时候呢，他其实还投稿了这个叫做《浪漫自负者》的书到一家出版社。Submit 这个动词就是有成交、提交的意思。我们常常说要把建议提交给某人，你就可以说 to submit a proposal to somebody。当然了，并不是非常的成功，但是他还是呢持续的写作。 接下来我们来看最后的两句。For many years, he barely made ends meet. 在这么多年以来，他几乎呢没有办法维持自己的生活。在英文里面 ,to make ends meet 指的就是使收支相抵或者是使收支平衡的意思。举个例子来说，失了业还要养活两个小孩，他们无法维持起码的生活。我们就可以说 ,being out of work and having two young children, they found it impossible to make ends meet. 这么样子的穷困潦倒。Then he had his first success with This Side of Paradise, a novel about the post-World War I generation. 后来写了这本书叫做《城市乐园》，就让他初尝到成功的果实。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
It's time now to continue today's lesson. Again, we're talking about the author of The Great Gatsby. And we talked about his beginnings here as a writer. So he's working in New York. He's working in advertising, but he's doing some writing on the side. And I guess his first novel, This Side of Paradise, actually was published, I suppose. But then his masterpiece came out, The Great Gatsby, and that was published in 1925, right in the middle of the Roaring Twenties.
Yeah, things were pretty exciting just about that time. It was an immediate hit. Wow, how lucky for him. If it's a hit, it's very, very successful. And it says here that he shot to fame. If you shoot to fame, it means you become famous very, very quickly. So he was one of the lucky writers. A lot of people will write their whole lives and wait for one particular book to be successful, but he was successful almost immediately. Now, it says here it's his masterpiece. It was really, what, his second book? I guess it's his third if you count the one that wasn't published, The Romantic Egotist. And that's pretty lucky to have such a masterpiece in your third round. That's a pretty amazing story there.
Sure.
Fitzgerald was considered part of the lost generation. The lost generation is a phrase we use to talk about some American writers that lived in Europe during this time. Ernest Hemingway is one of them. He was another. But we also use it to talk about World War I soldiers who came home and kind of didn't fit in after the war. I think we were learning back then in history how hard war was on men itself. You know, it changes them when they experience such violence. So he was considered part of the lost generation. He was one of those gifted American artists living as an expatriate in Europe.
Yeah, I guess World War I was really a nasty war. If you were there, it probably changed you for the rest of your life. So that's one part of the lost generation. And the other, of course, refers to those American writers living in Paris, Hemingway and Fitzgerald. I think Ezra Pound was another one. They were all living in Paris there trying to figure out what to do. If you're an expatriate, that means you're just somebody who lives in another country. Like Stephanie and myself, we are expatriates here in Taiwan.
Yeah, so if you were to move to the United States and go to school there and then decide to stay and work there for a couple of years, you would be an expatriate. Taiwanese citizen living in another country is an expatriate as well.
Sure. Now, despite his success, even though he was successful, Fitzgerald was unable to achieve financial stability. Stability, so that's the state of being stable. In other words, you know you have enough money, you never have to really worry about where money's coming from, but that was not his situation. He did sell this novel. It was a big hit. It sold a lot of copies, but he was still not very good at managing his money. Financial just means money that is used to pay for the things you need in life. And yeah, you want to have financial stability in life so you're not always worried about where your money's coming from.
Yeah, we have a phrase we use to talk about having just enough money to make ends meet. We can say, I'm living paycheck to paycheck.
Just scraping by.
Yeah, just scraping by is another phrase. It's just you have barely enough money each month to pay those essential bills that we all owe. If you have financial stability, it means you could probably take a month off from work and you would be fine. You would still have plenty of money. Well, the reason why he never really achieved financial stability is because he spent a lot of money. He kind of spent lavishly, it says here. If you do something lavishly, it just means you're doing something using a large amount of it. You can have a lavish party, meaning you have a lot of food and decorations. Lavish doesn't necessarily mean money, but here it says they lived lavishly. I would assume they had a mansion, had lots of cars and a chauffeur and beautiful things. Well, sometimes even if you're wealthy or rich, you can spend more than you have, and that's what happened to him.
Yeah, they kind of said the same thing about Michael Jackson, that he was living very lavishly and he actually didn't have much money left over when he died. I don't know how true that is. But F. Scott Fitzgerald was living lavishly, spending money left and right, buying new cars, flying off to Europe every summer, etc. So they were always in the red. If you're in the red, you're in debt. You owe money. And the opposite of that is in the black. You have enough money to get by. You don't owe any money. You are not in debt.
We'll often use those terms when we're talking about accounting in companies. The company's in the red, meaning they owe money. Well, this forced him to accept commercial assignments writing Hollywood scripts. Scripts here refers to the written form of a play or movie or even TV shows, a television script, a movie script. If it's a commercial assignment, it means he's writing it because he's concerned with earning money. If he's just writing because he loves writing and he's an artist, it could be an artistic pursuit. But here it's commercial. He's not writing these scripts because he likes what the content is or the subject matter. He has to do it to pay the bills.
Right, so he can't really write what he wants to write. He has to write what other people want him to write.
Uh-huh.
And if you feel you're a talented writer and that you're really smart and that you know so much more than other people do, then that would be a very difficult thing to do, to write a piece of advertising and then somebody says, nope, we don't want it like that, change it, get rid of this paragraph here, don't use that word. You're probably not going to like it at all. So we also refer to this type of writing as hack writing. You're just writing what you're supposed to write, not what you want to write.
And it says here that he loathed this. Loathe is a great word. It means you hate something or somebody very much. Oh, she loathed him. I love that word. We don't typically use it in spoken English. You see it more in written form, but we do use it quite a bit. Fitzgerald, unfortunately, was unhappy with his life, and he turned to drinking and became an alcoholic. An alcoholic is someone who is addicted to alcohol. If they have one drink, they can't stop themselves. They keep drinking until they're drunk or pass out. And the disease, alcoholism, led to his early demise. Your demise is a word we use to talk about the end of your life, death. The musician met an untimely demise. Just means he died young. Well, unfortunately for Fitzgerald, alcohol got the best of him, and he also died young. He was only 44 when he passed away.
That is pretty young, but, of course, lots of writers die young. Sometimes artists and musicians do as well. So he was an alcoholic, probably drinking too much whiskey and wine and stuff like that.
Oh, Tom, I wanted to mention,
yes,
with the word demise, I know it's spelled with an S, but it's actually pronounced with a Z sound, demise.
Demise.
Be careful.
Right. Not demise, but
no.
Demise, which means basically the death of a person. So
uh-huh.
That led to his early death when he was only 44. Although the prime of his career was somewhat brief, he is recognized as one of the most talented American writers of the 20th century. So 44, it seems that he could have gone on to do bigger and better things. And, yeah, this only happened briefly after his great novel was published. Who knows what else he would have done if he had stayed off the sauce. If he had kept away from the booze, he may have gone on to write 5 or 6 more novels. Who knows?
We sure have a lot of words for alcohol, don't we? Sauce, booze, yeah. Well, unfortunately, we lost him in the prime of his career. Prime is just the period of your life when you're at your best. You're the most successful. You're the healthiest. If you're a baseball player, your prime is probably when you're 30. I could say Derek Jeter is a good baseball player, but he is past his prime.
Oh, no.
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay, everybody, it's time to listen to our Chinese teacher.
而真正呢，为人所知有关于这位作者的作品叫做《The Great Gatsby》，也就是《大亨小传》。在他一出版的时候呢，就非常的畅销。我们来看一下这一段的第二句 ：It was an immediate hit, and he shot to fame。这里的 hit 指的就是呢非常热销的歌曲或者是书本，成功的电影都可以用 hit 这个字。Shoot to fame 当然指的就是一系成名的意思咯，而 fame 这个字当作名词指的就是一个人的声誉或者是名望的意思，所以如果说这个人他对名利很淡薄，我们就可以说 He cares very little for fame and gain。 接着我们来看到中间提到 Despite his successFitzgerald was unable to achieve financial stability. 虽然很成功，他还是没有办法呢，能够在财务上非常的稳定。Stability 指的是某个事物的稳定性，譬如说政治的稳定，当然就可以说 political stability。而后面就提到了 This forced him to accept commercial assignments, writing Hollywood scripts and short stories for newspapers, which he loathed. 结果为了要维持生计的平衡，必须要为一些好莱坞的剧本跟报纸短篇来写一些商业的一些案件。Commercial 在这里指的是商业性的，或者是以盈利为本位，而这件事情 which he loathed 是他非常厌恶讨厌的事情。这一段的最后一句 Although the prime of his career was somewhat brief, he is recognized as one of the most talented American writers of the 20th century.尽管他的事业巅峰期很短，但是还是被认为二十世纪最有才华的美国作家之一。
That brings us to the end of our show, everybody. Thanks for joining us, and make sure you join us again next time when we continue to talk about The Great Gatsby. Until then, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.